Do I call you Canyon Woman, King, Queen Canyon Woman 100? What's your name now, Grace?
You can call me any and all of the above. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Ha ha ha. Oh my gosh, you're still alive.
I'm still alive. I made it through the weekend. You made it through the weekend. We both made it through the weekend. It was a busy weekend.
Yeah, I feel like you probably you had to fight a little harder to get through your weekend than I did mine, but still.
Yeah. I took more
Canyon,
naps.
you ate a lot of good snacky snacks, right?
I had some good snaggy snacks. I took a lot of nappy naps.
I personally can't wait to hear about the burger and the beer at the end. So
Yeah.
I think we should probably just get this show started so we can hear about your adventure.
I agree.
Okay, listen up, Grace. I'm talking to you on this one. Grace, you completed Canyon Man 100, which we all knew you would do. Now let's hear the juicy details on episode 62. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Holy moly, we got. This might be one of our more packed shows of information to speak of. We got the Canyon Man 100 recap. We got the Hills Creek Challenge, Endurance Challenge recap. We had She Eastern States weekend this past weekend. Huge. We have people we know out doing, completing big FKTs, fastest known time attempts.
Right now. Yeah.
Right? Meow. Right
Right
now.
now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, man, it was a big weekend, huh?
It was a really big weekend, and I'm glad to be dry and warm now.
Your face still looks the same. You didn't mess your face up at all.
I didn't mess my face up. I have all of my limbs, so I'm super excited about that. I came out the other side okay.
You completed Canyon Man 100, which we talked about last week. For those that didn't tune in last week, it's 17 miles of kayaking down the Pine Creek,
19.
19 miles of kayaking down Pine Creek Valley, Grand Canyon of PA. And then it is running the West Rim Trail, 31 miles back to where you started at the Burning Barrel Restaurant. And then you bike back down through the valley on one side and up the rail trail on the other, completing 100 total miles of the Pine Creek Gorge. Very long day, a very hard day, hard on your body. It's funny because you're not running for 100 miles, but you're using other
Yeah.
muscles
And
being engaged.
I think the other thing to add in is just that it's unsupported. There's no, I mean, there's when you get to the tavern after the run, there's a quote unquote aid station, After both the kayak and the run, you can get aid during that one point. But it's largely self-supported and also self-navigated. So that's the other piece of this race that I think makes it unique. And there are solo racers and there's also relay racers. And the relay racers are going much faster now.
Yeah, and I think there's 10 relay teams. I assume all the relay teams finished. I'm not sure. I didn't find that stat. But as far as the single people went, that 13 of you finished, and there was four that did not finish. So the day, I mean, honestly, the weather, you guys got real lucky with the weather, because at one point right in the morning it was saying it was gonna rain pretty much all day, and then it
So I don't know what you're talking about. So you're talking about the 12 people who were ahead of me because I took much longer than everybody else and it rained the entire bike leg.
Oh, I guess it did turn on again at nighttime. You're right. But hey, it could have rained the whole time you were on West Rim Trail and it didn't, right?
It sprinkled while I was on the West Rim Trail. It didn't rain the entire
temperatures
time.
Temperatures were pretty nice. Right?
Temperatures were pretty good. But yeah, it. Now when I came in, so I did the kayak and then I did the bike. When I came in from the bike, a large amount of the people had already finished. So I was leaving for my bike section, which took me 7 hours. And that was completely in the rain and in the dark. But, you know, it's just to complete it was, in my head, a huge accomplishment. And that's what I set out to do. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, conditions for me were a little bit different because I was out there longer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good job.
Thanks.
So, I mean, the first thing I heard, and you confirmed it, the kayak part was pretty rough just because Pine Creek was so low for this time of year.
Correct? Yeah, the kayak was, I don't want to say it was terrible, but it was terrible. So firstly, this was the second time I have ever kayaked on a creek. I kayaked once on a lake, and then I kayaked with Tess like a month ago. And then this was my third time ever in a kayak. I'm pretty comfortable on the water. I grew up on a lake, so I wasn't worried about that. But the water was so low. There were points. So here's imagine this. Imagine trying to kayak in 6 inches of water with 12 inches of water in your kayak. And that is what I was attempting to do. So my oar was not so much an oar. I didn't really paddle water so much as I just like tried to shove it against rocks and lunge myself plus my kayak forward. That was most of what I was doing. There were a few that I had to get out.
Why did you put so much water in your kayak? As a ballast, you know, or something? Was that like you were thinking it would help you stay safe? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a weird decision looking back on it. No, it was
hydration.
And it was strange because my first time kayaking with Tess a month ago, the creek was flooded. It was really, really high. And when we kayaked, I didn't have a skirt, Tess did. And it was the sun came out and literally I had not one drop of water in my kayak when I went out with Tess. And she had a couple little drops just because the sun was not evaporating the rest of the water, but she wanted to test out her skirt. So I went into this thinking, okay, I'm going to be a little more cautious. I'm going to use a skirt. There was so much water because of the rapids from the rocks. Because I wasn't above the rocks. I was within the rocks. And so I would hit these rapids and the nose of it would just dip down and water would rush over the top of it. Right. And so I couldn't figure out, do I just take the skirt off so I can get in and out and like moor this thing? Or do I keep the skirt on to try to keep water out of it? Twice I had to stop and just dump water out of my kayak, which was super fun. And at one point, and I told you this earlier, but at one point I came up to this section and I could see over to the right. It was a little bit deeper and that's where I was supposed to be, but you have to get yourself from one side to the other. And by the time I figured that out, I was already in shallow water. So I just like grounded myself. There was no option. And so I just sat there and had a snack. So my kayak wasn't going anywhere. I was
right.
Like, this is a good time for a snack.
Well, you made it through the kayak part. Everybody did for the most part.
Yeah, everybody did. It took me an hour and a half longer. First off, it took me an hour and a half longer than I anticipated to do the kayak portion.
Oh.
And it was a lot longer than I thought. And I thought I was being generous with my time because I'm new to this. So then I get out of the kayak. And of course, when you're done with the kayak section, there's people there, but they're not allowed to help you because it's all self-supported. So you have to get your kayak and then try to get it to the grassy section. And so I'm trying to get my kayak up there, but it's full of water again. So I have to dump some of the water out first. I finally get it up to the, and everybody is like, I'm so sorry, we're not helping you. I'm like, it's fine. You're fine, guys. And so I get it up to that section. And then I, my hands are freezing cold. I have Raynaud's, you do too. So my hands are freezing cold. I'm completely soaked head to toe. My feet are white. So I took off my, I had little neoprene booties and I took those off and my feet are completely white. I have Raynaud's in my hands and my feet. And then I open up my dry bag. And so my dry bag has 6 inches of water in it.
Perfect.
So my trail running shoes literally had standing water sitting in them. So they had just been, they'd just been simmering for 5 hours in water. And my change of clothes, my snacky snack was something else. I had a tasty cake pie. Well, it's in a paper wrapper. Wow. I had a bite of it.
All right. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. You still got your butt out on the West Rim Trail. I completed that for your first time ever, which is a very scenic trail. Pretty trail, 30 miles of that. And
the trail run was beautiful.
The run was?
Yeah. So the run was beautiful. Like the first 5 miles, I was just trying to recover from the kayak because I was doing so much work. A lot more work than I anticipated because the creek wasn't moving me along. I had to move myself. So my hips were really sore. My back was sore. I had pulled a muscle in my back that morning trying to put squirrel's nut butter on my toes.
I feel it.
I had forgotten my bladder and Callie brought a bladder for me that morning. Thank you, Callie. It just one thing after another. And there was a point at which during the kayak, I just screamed, why? But other than that,
Did anybody respond?
No, nobody did. Although at one point when I was stuck, I was just yelling. And then I looked over and there were these campers and one of them came over to see if I was okay. And then they kind of slowly went back. I'm like, I know they're laughing at me. I just know it. It's fine. But you know how this stuff is. It's not trying to prevent every issue, but how you deal with the issues. And I think you just got to turn around and be like, okay, now I get to run. And isn't that going to be fun? So it took me about 5 miles to settle in on the run. But once I did, I just had a great time. It was beautiful. I saw 2 newts. And they were adorable. Yeah. And I saw 3 turkeys and I attempted to chase them. Nice. They were big too. Yeah. I saw deer. I saw waterfalls. It was gorgeous. Love it.
That's awesome. So did that first climb, the first climb on the West Rim Trail there is a pretty long one. Did that warm you up?
Yeah. And I knew that one was coming too. So I shoveled a bunch of food in my mouth after the kayak thinking, I know I'm going to be walking for a while. So I'll have a moment to digest everything. So I just kind of settled in and went for that long hike to the top. And then I got to, I didn't go super fast on my downhills, being by myself, knowing that I'm one of the last ones out there. I had a couple people behind me, but I knew I was one of the last ones out there. I'm a little more cautious, it's going to be a lot harder to get help. So I took it easy breezy and still beat my goal time. My goal time was 10 hours for the run and I did 9:15.
Nice. So you made up some time back from the kayak that went a little long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you got back to the Burning Barrel at about what time? At dark, in the night, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Around 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock and changed all your gear, whatever you had to do, and then got on the bike for a 50-mile bike ride.
Yeah, so I got on the bike, and so I changed all my stuff and say hi to people real quick. Gilbert came over, gave me some kudos, and Carla came over and all that, and I'm like, I'm rejecting all the help because people are like, oh, can I do this? I'm like, nope. Self-supported. I'm doing everything by myself. I'm totally, which you can get aid at that point, but still I'm like determined to be self-supported.
Yeah.
I'm being stubborn. So I do all my stuff and Gibby says, yeah, it's real cold out there. Make sure that you stay warm. And it was raining by that point. So I put on an extra layer. I had my gloves. I changed everything. I didn't want to stay, even though I knew I was going to get wet again. It's always a good idea to switch over to dry clothes. So I did that. And then I start on the bike ride and I hear the sound that's like swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. And I'm a little more experienced. I don't do a lot of gravel riding, but I ride my mountain bike pretty often. And the thing with mountain biking is pretty much every time you go out for a ride, pretty often you check your tires. And I'm a quarter of a mile down the road and very large F-bomb comes out because I realize I had forgotten to fill up my tires. And because I was waiting, I was going to do it the night before because I knew the first 3 miles of the road of the bike section were road and uphill, mm-hmm. which means I should have very full tires. It's going to make it a lot easier. So I should fill up immediately beforehand. And I didn't. And I was so mad at myself, but I'm being stubborn, right? So I have a pump with me, a hand pump. And so I attack, I'm like, no, I'm not going back. I'm only a quarter mile away, but I'm not going back. I can do this by myself. So I try to attach a hand pump and I accidentally attach it to the wrong side because it has both of the both of the types on it, the Presta and I forget what the other one's called. And I attach it to the wrong one, which deflates the tire even more. I spend about 20 minutes trying to pump up this thing. I still haven't even gotten to the back tire. And I suck up my pride and I'm like, you know, I just need to go back. So I ride a quarter of a mile back. I lose a glove in the process.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, does anybody have a bike pump? So Jesse Lubera is like, oh yeah, I have a pump. And I'm like, is this okay? Am I allowed? He's like, yeah. You can totally, you're allowed to get aid while you're here at this, at the tavern. It's fine. Sure. I'm like, okay, fine. So I reluctantly accept help. He pumps up both of my tires and he says, you know, how full do I'm like, fill them up. I want to. So we fill them up. I have one glove. I think in my head, I'll probably find my other glove on the way. I've already wasted like 25 minutes and I felt good after the run. Like I was well fueled. I was, cause I ate just fine. I drank just fine out of the run. And I start riding back. I cannot find my glove. And I'm just like, whatever. I'm just going to ride with one glove. So I did a Michael Jackson for the entire ride. And I had a left glove and no right glove. And the first 3 miles uphill went great. I mean, I cruised along pretty nicely. Like I said, it was raining. There was also fog. So I really did have to take it easy. I wasn't sure. There was still one other runner who was behind me during the run portion. And I didn't know if he was going to start the bike or not. So I didn't know if I had anybody behind me. I'm like, I'm by myself. If something goes wrong, I don't think anybody's going to find me for a while. So, so I really tried to be careful. Like I said, it was raining. So I had wet brakes. So I was probably overly cautious, but I really enjoyed the first half of the bike. It was a lot of fun.
But not the second half?
Not the second half. So the first half, first off, I have to thank Lacey because Lacey had its – oh, and I have to really thank Laura. So I borrowed Laura's bike. I don't have a gravel bike, and she let me borrow it. So thank you, Laura. And Lacey said ahead of time before the race, she says, I think you need an earworm for this race. You know, when things are down, you sing a little song or have a little something in your head that you can lean on. And she had one suggestion. I forget what it was. And the other one was Canyon Woman to the tune of LA Woman by the Doors. And so I'm on these gravel roads in the middle of nowhere going, Canyon Woman, Canyon Woman, Canyon Woman gonna ride a bike. Bow, 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 bow. That's an organ. And I really enjoyed it. I had so much fun singing really loud because I was trying to keep myself awake.
Yeah.
You're not impressed by my singing?
Oh, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. You should record an album.
So then we get to the rail trail section, and I was so tired. I was falling asleep while I was pedaling. Like, my feet were still moving, but I eyes were closing. So I would lay down the bike in the direction that I needed to travel in, and I literally laid in the gravel. And I would just close my eyes for like 60 seconds. You know, it was 1 or 2 minutes. And again, it's raining and cold. So I would get too cold and I would have to ride again, but then I would start to fall asleep again. At one point, I did actually fall asleep and I started to drool. So I think that was a good like 3 or 4 minute nap. But most of them, it was just 60 seconds. It was like long enough to just get the momentum to like stand up again.
And at this point, no one else caught up to you, if it was behind you or anything like that, huh?
No. And I found out later that the guy who was behind me dropped after the first half of the bike leg. So he never got on the rail trail.
Gotcha. And then you finally finished at what time?
I don't know. It was almost 4 o'clock. So it was 3:47, I think. Yeah.
Nice. How'd that feel?
No, or it was almost 5 o'clock. I don't know. 21:47, I think, was my finish time. So there's your do math.
I don't like math.
Yeah. I don't know what time it, but it was early in the morning. And the guys were there. Grant was there. Cliff was there. And that was it. I finished.
3:47.
Thank you, Cliff. It was 3:47 a.m. Nice. So those two stayed, and I finished like, I think it was like 4 hours after the person before me, 3.5 hours, something. It was a long time between the person before me and me. Those poor guys, they stayed. Thank you.
Yep. The race is still going. Nice. Well, good work. It sounds like quite a story and an adventure.
It was quite the adventure. I'm really glad that I did it. I mean, it was something that's been in my head for, I think, 5 years. I've been talking about this, wanting to do it. I'm glad that I waited. I waited until I thought I could actually finish it. And last year I spent a good portion of my summer just getting more comfortable on a bike, because that's the section that I was most concerned about initially. And I'm glad that I took that time to feel like I would be safe on a bike and that other people wouldn't have to rescue me, you know? And so I'm glad I waited. I felt pretty confident that I could finish if I took my time and stayed smart. I don't think I did the smart thing. I mean, I think there were plenty of mistakes in there, but it's, again, it's, what do you do when you have a mistake? You work through it and you keep going, you know? So I kept going until I got the finish, and I was so excited at the finish, and I got my burger.
Nice.
Yeah.
So would you do it again?
Would I do it again? So I'm probably not going to do it again, but I'll tell you why. I think it was a great race. I think for someone like me who is in the back of the pack, it's really hard to pick more than one race like that per season.
Right.
If I'm an Adam Kolb, like, absolutely, I'm going to do it every year because he can knock out one of those races, win it, which he did. Congratulations to Tank, to Kolb.
That was his ninth Canyonman 100 finish.
That's so awesome. Nine out of 10, because it's only been around 10 years, right? No, I shouldn't say only. 10 years is a long time for
something like that
in the world of ultras. But yeah, like, he can turn around and, you know, do a 100K the next weekend. I can't, you know, I physically need a little more time to recover. So if I didn't need as much recovery time, I would. But there's other races out there that I want to do. I would definitely do it as a relay. And there's quite a few people who've done that. Like, they completed the whole thing and then they went back and did it as a relay the next year. It was so much fun. I loved it. Oh, and a big shout out to Cass for giving me a ton of advice, and huge to Tess for taking me out on the bike and the kayak, because that was just a tremendous help and just for emotionally supporting me along the way. And she got her finish too.
Yeah, we should probably clarify who Tess is. Teresa Barnes from Williamsport is who Tess is. And yes, she finished Canyon Man. She was one of the ones that was about 4 hours ahead of you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying. You guys are all amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. I was happy to be DFL. This is actually my first official DFL.
Nice.
Believe it or not.
I mean, you finished right where you about where you thought you would. So, like, who cares?
Yeah, my goal was 20 hours, and that was if you take away the time, the extra time that it took me on the kayak,
right,
and the time to refill my tire. That is, if I hadn't had those two things, I would have finished in just under 20 hours. So, I was pretty spot on with my guess, and
I mean, if you probably would have taken a couple less naps on the rail trail.
Couple less naps if I would have closed my dry bag correctly.
Nah, it's awesome. That's the beauty of an event like that is, like you said, there's going to be issues and got to work through them and get through the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, awesome. It was super fun. I loved it. I definitely recommend it to others, even though it is self-supported. Like you still have a lot of support. Like many people reached out to me and gave me advice. And, you know, Grant and Cliff were great along the way. It just, there really is a lot of support out there, even though it's unsupported.
Yeah. Cool. Nice work. Make sure you rest up.
Thanks. How was your weekend?
Pretty uneventful. I mean, there was a couple other events going on. Hills Creek Endurance Challenge, which is the 3, 6, or 12-hour event looped race around Hills Creek Lake, which is only 25, 30 minutes from where you were in my backyard. So we went over there, family went over there most of the day just to help out and cheer people on and do some pace, you know, help pace a couple people. Becky did 20 miles, I think, with Maurice. Good day. The weather turned out to be really nice for an event like that.
Yeah, Marisa had a great race. Laura had a great race. I didn't get to see everybody's stats from the day, but it looked to be like a really fun event.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. Like you're saying, we had a bunch of friends in it and stuff, and they all did great. Marisa was second in the 12-hour overall. She finished 63 miles, same as the first place girl, but the first place girl did it like 10 minutes faster.
Was it a girl or was it a woman?
It was a woman.
Oh, okay.
Female. It was a female. that was Kristen Cantor from Williamsport. She won the 12-hour. Eric Smith won the 12-hour. He was the first male. Alicia McCormick, 6-hour winner, like 4 minutes ahead of Laura. Josh Boyer won the 3-hour event. We both know Josh Boyer. I think you know Josh Boyer.
Yeah. He's killing it. He's having a good year.
Trevor Fye. So I said Josh won it. Trevor Fye was signed up for the 6-hour event, and then he dropped down to the 3. And they, you know, basically he won the 3-hour event, but he wasn't signed up for the 3-hour event. So I'm not letting him win.
Don't let him in.
No, but it's a good event. Lee Arbogast and Laura Hensler, it's the fourth year of it. And, you know, these looped races with different time, it opens the door for anyone and everyone to come out and just, you know, do hike one loop farther than you've ever gone, or you know, push yourself, try to get distance. So there's a ton of PRs from different people, you know, throughout the day, which is a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like such a cool event. I've never been able to do it. I love the photos because it looks like a pretty loop a really positive event, and I haven't been able to do it yet. I really like to.
That one funny story I want to mention because it's quite hilarious was Laura's daughter Saren runs the race, okay, and this girl's 12 years old. Last year she did I think 30 miles, 12-year-old did 30 miles, and this year her goal was to beat that, right?
Yeah.
So she was pretty beat up at the end, towards the end, the last loop. She was, I mean, she had the stiff-legged walk going on. It was great mm-hmm. to see. But she had a big smile on her face and was still going. But somewhere during the last loop, the last three-mile loop, she was basically talking to Nick, Lara's husband, about, you know, what's going on. And there's couple other girls, young girls, that were at the race, and they did quite a few laps too. But apparently Saren is pretty competitive. So she was wondering, you know, who the heck these girls were. And in her half delirious mind, she was talking to Nick, and she was like, she said that they might be related to Eric. They might be their mom might be Eric's sister. He's like, yeah, I guess maybe that's true. And she said, well, if that's the case, it's probably in their bloodline. That's why they're doing so good. In their bloodline. And she was just, you know, she was just dead tired and overthinking yeah. things. But
yeah, that's it just great.
Crazy. But yeah, she finished 33 miles, a couple other.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Macy Arbogast finished. I think she finished the same distance. But I think she got 36. 36 maybe, yeah. I'm not sure.
Nice.
But yeah, that's a cool, like a bunch of kids did it. And I mean, we're not talking easy stuff, you know, 12 hour event.
That's right? Why I have to ask, like, was it a girl or was it because I know there are some young girls who are just doing some awesome stuff right now.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I'm sure there's a couple young kids there, but most of the ones I'm referring to were all the young girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Craziness.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that was a good day. And then the She Eastern States weekend happened. Did you hear any scuttlebutt from that?
Yeah, I heard all positive stuff from She Eastern States. And So do you want to talk about what this is first? Do you want me to talk about it?
I mean, basically, I'll take it since I don't want to really hear your voice anymore.
I like that. Great. Me neither.
So the She Eastern States was, you know, that was brainchild of Jade Oaks, I believe, mm-hmm. who is the co-race director of Eastern States 100. And, you know, this was basically a chance for females to get together, women to get together and come see good chunk, 50 miles total of the course throughout 3 days this past weekend. Doing different sections every day with other female women runners that were, you know, leading the way and making sure they got to where they needed to be. And also, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the husbands and boyfriends and whatnot helped with pick, you know, car drop off and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I don't know how many total registered there were, but it was a good chunk of women.
I thought it was 20 or 30, something like that. I mean,
that's what the numbers kind of looked like, something around there. But yeah, it sounded to me like it was a huge success. They ran a giant cabin and kind of hung out all weekend. And, you know, I think the miles were pretty they weren't racing anything. So pretty long days, but, you know, 3 days worth of seeing half of the 100-mile course is a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah, it's huge. And anybody who listens to Coach Jason Koop or AJW, Andy Jones Wilkins, this is one of the things that they've been emphasizing more recently, especially, and you'll hear this more as it comes into June, as it comes into Western States. One of the big things that they recommend that runners do to have a great 100 miler is to go to a trail camp. And Western States has been doing trail camp for a long time. There's a couple other races that do it. And it's essentially Jade's one of the people on the committee for Eastern States. And so she helps organize everything for the race itself. And now this is an opportunity for women to get a preview of the course and spend some time out on the trail. And so really great to have that from a training perspective, and then to do it as an all women retreat is pretty cool, you know? So there is hesitation. My very first 50K, the reason why I signed up for that 50K is because there were preview runs And it was something that that race did. It was the KTA, what used to be called the Ultra. Well, it was called the Super Hike. And they had these preview runs. And I thought, oh, well, if it has preview runs, then I'll know where I'm going. I know I'll be okay. Okay, I'll sign up for that one. And it just made me feel more secure because at the time, I didn't know anybody running. I was a solo runner. And I felt a little more comfortable signing up for it at the time. So it can be helpful, I think. It can be helpful for anybody, but I really like this initiative to try to encourage more female participants in the very long distance, in that 100-mile distance. So
yeah, and I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you had, there's no way you had to be, you didn't have to be registered for
Eastern
100. So, correct. I mean, obviously the push or the desire to come from this is that we get more female, mm-hmm. more females, more women to sign up for this race because they, kind of get at ease seeing part of the course and what they're in for. And, maybe next year there'll be a little bump in female participation.
Yeah. Yeah. It is smart. And I think, especially if you've done a couple of these races before, I know where I am in the pack and I know I'm going to be by myself a lot. And it is when you're already signing up for a 100-miler, which this race isn't Eastern 102, 103.
Yeah.
It's just over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 102. So you go the wrong way by a mile. All of a sudden you're running a 105-miler. And if you're already up against cutoffs, then that can make a huge difference. So just knowing where you're going, being able to plan for a smart race, knowing when you should slow down a little and take it easy, when you should push a little harder. You learn that stuff by seeing the course. And that's the stuff that can make or break a finish or make, for the front of the pack too, knowing where you can push really hard and where you should back off can help as a front of the pack runner. So it doesn't really matter where you are in the pack. I think seeing the course is just a really smart thing to do if you're able to fit it into your schedule and travel to the course.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still torn myself whether I like seeing a course beforehand or if I just like to be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. That it is a benefit to be surprised sometimes too. So
it's tough. I go both ways.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah. But no, I think the weather was pretty phenomenal for them. And the pictures I saw and the posts that I've seen so far, it sure was a huge success. So great job to everybody who organized that and helped put it on. And I would assume it's going to continue on next year.
Yeah, I know Nicole Werner was another one. She's been on the show. Who helped tremendously with the organization of it. So that was a great work to everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into trying to figure out meals and everything for 30 people and how it's all in logistics and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much right on 3 months out from Eastern States right now. So those of you that are listening, including some of my athletes that are running Eastern States, it's time to buckle down.
Yeah, it's time to buckle down. And it's right about the time where anybody who's going for the Triple Crown, we're heading in very soon to World's End 50K and World's End 100K. And right about now, we're getting close to taper time. That's right around the corner. So everybody should be doing their peak runs right now, getting their last views of the course if they're able to get to the course. And then it's time to taper. Most of the hay is in the barn for World's End.
Most, but you can always shovel a few more in there.
Yeah, a couple more hail bays of hail.
Hails of all hail. Right, moving on. So, Jordan Copenhaver just today, I don't even know exactly what time he completed.
This morning.
The PA section of the Appalachian Trail. And this was his second go at the, he had the kind of goal of trying, possibly capturing the FKT, the fastest known time, although it wasn't his number one push. He just wanted to do good. He wanted to complete it. He wanted to get through it healthy. And he finished in 4 days, 22 hours and 48 minutes, which is, I don't know. I didn't even look up what the time is. It's just over 4 days, I think. So around 20-ish hours over the fastest known time.
But yeah, so I did look it up. It's 4 days, 2 hours. The time before that was 4 days and change, and the time before that was like 5 days and change. So, right. So I mean, he was blazing fast through this thing. He was doing it in the rain.
That's what I was going to say. It wasn't the best weather, and he just went for it. And this was his second attempt this year. He attempted it, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe, and made it a good way. But he was determined to go right back out basically and do it again. And he finished it.
Yeah. So congratulations, Jordan. And we should be hearing from him soon on how it went.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll try to get him on the show to talk about this journey again. He was on to talk about his first attempt. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can get him on to see how this one went and what went more right and what went wrong and things like that. But
yeah. So that was super exciting. And we have other people who are out on the trail right now. Right meow.
Yeah, they're out on a long trail trying to do fastest known things also.
And other people who are not necessarily going for fastest known things, but going for big goals. Trail Mama, Georgetta Frederick, is out on the Appalachian Trail right now. And she crossed over into what's after Georgia? North Carolina? North Carolina, I think.
I don't know. South Carolina come first?
I don't think so, no. I think South Carolina is too far east.
Yeah.
So I think I think it was yesterday she switched over to North Carolina. So
nice.
Yeah, she's doing great. She's cruising along and smiling. So
that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else we got? You got anything else?
I do. I want to do a PSA. Can I do that?
Oh, this doesn't sound like the fun part of the show.
Can I?
Yeah. Make it quick and harmless.
Okay. I just have a request. I just want to talk about this. And I am also guilty of it. So this is no shade to anybody out there. You might not realize that you're doing it. And I'm gonna talk a little bit to the women out there. We can talk about men's
nipples. Men are off the hook?
That's right. You're off the hook. We can talk about men's nipples another time or something like that if you want to. But I'm gonna talk to the women out there. Because I'm seeing your group runs, I'm seeing your race photos, and you look so happy, and you're all doing amazing. But I'm telling you, if there's nobody standing behind you, you don't have to bend down and go like this. You don't have to do that if there's nobody behind you. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to make yourself tiny. There's no one behind you.
But if they can.
But you can just stand up and you can look cute, right? You can like.
Is that the cutest?
It's adorable. Like you can put your hands on your hips. Like you can do whatever cute pose you want, but you don't have to bend over if there's nobody behind. And I'm saying that like. I used to do it too. It's fine.
You were a user?
I did. I was a bend. I was
you were a bender.
I was a bender. But like, and if you're in the back row, like if there's two rows and you're in the back row, you don't have to bend over. You can stand up straight.
This is a very good PSA. I totally know where you're coming from. And I respect, you're right. It needs to be said, Grace.
Thank you.
I can 100% guarantee you, I am sending you a photo of myself bent.
Like, this is the challenge too, because now, like, I literally, Julia does this to me.
Everybody's going to be sending you these
Julia
photos.
Sends me photos.
She's opened up
I know. She started a group run and she's like, come on, let's do the pose that Grace hates.
Good stuff.
And I was on a group run. I went to Scrubby's run and Heather Rowe was there. I love Heather. And she did the same thing. She's like, let's do all that pose. And then this other person, they got this other person to take the photo for us, the bartender. So she came outside, she comes to take the photo for us. There was a sign behind me. And so she says, oh, let's get the sign in it. Can you guys bend down? And I go, no, I can't. And I moved over. So you can still see the sign. I refuse to do it. I'm not doing it.
It is. It's funny. I mean, ever since cell phones became in existence and or selfies or something.
Yeah.
That has that female thing that you're referring to has always been a thing. I agree with 100%.
Now, if there's two rows, the front row can bend down. That's fine. But I'm telling you, I'm going to encourage all the men to just be in the front row and then do this.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, so this weekend, Becky and myself were on each side of Marisa for a photo. And I felt the need. I wanted to be down at her level. So sure. I gave the butt out, bend down. I was bent. I bent it like it was hot.
Down
her level. So like, is that okay?
Yeah.
Or do I stand up and just show our height difference?
It's all about the reason. Like
if
the purpose of the bending over is to make yourself tiny for the people behind you, but there's actually no one there, like you're just doing it out of habit. You're not, there's no real reason for it. So women, do not make yourself small. Make yourself big. So the photo of me and you at Heiner, do you remember that? It's
sure.
Me and there was somebody else and I decided to get in the photo. It was you and Gibby, I think.
Mm.
And then I decided to photobomb you, but I went in front of you two and I refused to do this. So I just did like a really wide squat. That's why I was doing that. It's because I don't do the bend over. I refuse to bend over.
Right.
I'll squat.
Huh. Well, maybe you just started a revolution of shutting down the bend over.
Or now everybody's going to do it.
I fear that's what you've done. You've started a war. I mean, I know on my end, I'm going to tell everybody.
I'm just trying to help. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help everybody's amazing race photos and group photos. I want you to all be big and take up space. Well, you don't have to be big. Like you can be whatever size you are, but just don't feel like you have
to. Confident. You got to feel confident.
Yeah. I was at the gas station the other day and this woman was waiting for her food and she just looked so uncomfortable. Like she was in everybody's way. And it's like, I just wanted to like grab her shoulders and be like, you're in nobody's way. You are exactly where you need to be waiting for your snacks. And just like, like take up space.
Just take up space.
That's right.
We should end it on that. You know, just take up space.
Yes.
You know, own it. Take up space and own it.
Yeah.
All right. And anything else you need to get off your chest? I feel like that's been... it. Sitting in there for a while. I'm glad
it's been sitting in there. It's been festering. I feel better.
All right. So those of you that don't personally know Grace, if you'd like to send her a photo, I will personally send you her email address, her Facebook messenger, her cell phone number, so that we can basically flood her whole life with the bend over.
Which I
think her super happy.
Thank you. That's actually what I wanted. Also, I definitely don't want anybody to, you know, like this and follow and subscribe while we're at it.
Yeah, definitely don't like the show and don't.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the reverse psychology on that. All right. Yeah,
I like it.
Is it not?
I want to try to think of things similar to this pet peeve of yours.
Yeah.
Do your own
PSA. Yeah.
No, I know. I think I'm gonna, because there's a lot of things that bug me, Grace. Did you know that?
I can't wait to hear about all of them. To be clear, this does not bother me.
No, I know.
And because I think most people are doing the best they can with what they have. And that's just true across everybody, across the whole world. And people are mostly good and they're just trying their best. I just want to, like, you might not realize you're doing it.
They don't. I mean, at this point, it's a habit for a lot of people.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
That's how it was for me. So this is a PSA. It's not, it doesn't irritate me.
Right.
For the record. Good. So, I just want to help, but do like and subscribe and leave us a review and all the fun things, and maybe share if you like our show. And if you don't, then tell Eric about it.
It's huge for us, for those listeners listening in now and on podcast form and Spotify or Apple, whatever it is, Apple Play. I don't know what you kids call it these days, but like, just please share it and subscribe and tell somebody to watch it, because it's just going to blow up that way.
Yeah. And we'll have more PSAs.
A lot more PSAs. Yeah. So we're going to hopefully have on some people in the next few weeks that have done big things, possibly. Mm-hmm. You still have to work on your 20 to 30 questions for me, just so you get to know me better.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what kind of, where, how I like to stand when I get my photo taken, because I think you already know that answer.
I do.
Bend over. Yeah.
Yeah. The bend over.
Yeah. But yeah, I would still like to have that show in the coming weeks, but yeah, we have some big stuff coming up. And like we said before, it's race season. So a lot of the shows are going to be covering races coming up or races that just happened and stuff that you're doing, and hopefully stuff that I do. If I ever figure out what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's going to be such a fun spring, summer. There's so many things to talk about. I can't wait.
Yep. All right, let's shut her down. This was our 100K episode, Grace. That's pretty big.
Yay! Hard to get to
100K. Yeah.
100K episode.
Next big thing will be the 100-mile mark, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah. I can't wait. We need a lot of snacks for that one. You got to fuel more.
Yeah, no sleeping along the way either.
Dang it.
All right, Grace. I'll see you next week at 7:30 on Monday, along with a lot of other new friends that all these friends invite.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, go ahead, shut her down.
Okay, bye.